News Team Coverage, 94.9 WSJM News Now.
Brought to you by Comfort Keepers of Southwest Michigan, serving Berrien, Cass, and Van Buren counties. Compatible, compassionate, comfortable care at home. In the newsroom, I'm Andrew Green. There has been some historic flooding in the Niles area this week. Berrien Springs has been hit hard as well. Niles City Administrator Rick Huff tells us there are some things residents need to do to stay safe.
It's really important for residents to stay out of and away from floodwaters. We have all of our resources, city resources, are being used to try to mitigate the damage to the best of our ability, but we keep getting pulled away from very important tasks to rescue people from flooded cars and to get people away from fast-moving water in flood-prone areas.
The St. Joe River in Niles at an historic level. It's expected to crest tomorrow morning. Niles City crews working to get people away from dangerous areas. Meanwhile, police in Berrien Springs this morning evacuated the River Springs Estate Trailer Park and the Shamrock Park camping grounds. That happened when the dam had to be opened. Evacuees with no place to go were being sent to the Berrien County Youth Fairgrounds. Meanwhile, it's a busy week for first responders all over the county as the SHO River reaches its 50-year high thanks to rain and melting snow. Berrien County Undersheriff Chuck Height tells us the department's working with local agencies to keep people safe. He recommends everyone keep an emergency bag packed just in case.
With 72 hours supply of water, medication, and essential items just in case you do have to leave your home.
Height tells us the sheriff's department's had to spend too much time rescuing drivers who've tried to go through water-covered roads. He advises everyone to obey barricades on flooded roads, stay away from flood waters. The sheriff's department also says people who use well water should not use that water if the wellhead becomes submerged. Flooding concerns around southern lower Michigan, and they are being proactive in Matawan. Part of the town is threatened right now by floodwaters, and the water's overflowing from the banks of the Matawan Creek, which runs through the center of town. Matawan Fire Chief Taryn McLean tells us some of the homes have been threatened.
A couple residents live right along the river there, and with the recent rains, the water's risen up over the banks, and it's kind of going into their houses, so we just sandbagged around.
McLean says they've used 2,000 sandbags in Matawan to protect homes. While the nation debates gun control again, Congressman Fred Upton says he's always been in favor of some common sense rules. He tells us he was calling for universal background checks as far back as the 90s. Upton also tells us the bipartisan group of congressional problem solvers, as they call themselves, will talk about gun rules when they meet next week.
By expanding the background checks, by banning bump stocks, looking at a number of things, and one of the things that was some of our sheriffs proposed was raising the age prior to the purchase of a AR-15 from 18 to 21 years old.
Upton tells us problem solvers have all agreed to vote in a block if 75% of them all agree on an issue. There are a total of 48 of them. Upton thinks the background checks and the bump stock ban could actually happen, while noting even President Trump's indicated a willingness to support the bump stock ban. He says it's good that young people have become so vocal. As of right now, he's the only candidate running for the Michigan House in the 79th District. He's 29-year-old Democrat Joey Andrews. He announced this month he's running for the seat currently occupied by State Representative Kim Lasada. Andrews tells us he decided to seek his first political office after talking about the state of politics with some associates.
Talking about ways we can make an impact, ways our generation could step up to the plate and start being part of the solution.
Andrews is a Lake Michigan Catholic graduate who has a law degree from Wayne State University. He wants to do more for public education.
Everybody's aware that, you know, the Benton Harbor school system has been under some pretty heavy pressure from the state government and needs help. And I think we could do a lot better for that school and that community. But it's also not just Benton Harbor. There's parents at Lakeshore and St. Joe that are concerned about their school and the direction that things are headed in.
Andrews tells us other priorities are promoting renewable energy and helping small business. He thinks a Democrat could stand a chance in the 79th. He says it's actually a mixed district, just has low turnout. He's waiting to see which Republicans will announce their candidacy now that State Representative Lasada is going for the Senate instead. Benton Harbor area school trustees remain tight-lipped on the investigation going on into Superintendent Shelley Walker, who remains on paid administrative leave. Last night's school board meeting featured two closed sessions with attorneys regarding investigations. One of them was the investigation into the use of a $2 million federal safety grant. However, there was no discussion about that after the board returned to open session. Trustee Joseph Taylor told us there's nothing new to report regarding the superintendent.
There's still an investigation. There's still administrative leave with pay. So Dr. Walker is still the superintendent of the district until such time, right, as the investigation ends.
Taylor said parents should not interpret the situation as a sign of instability. While Walker's off, Assistant Superintendent Patricia Robinson's filling in. And State Senator John Prose has co-sponsored legislation designed to allow more wheelchair-accessible vehicles to get a state registration fee deduction. Prose tells us the idea applies to vehicles that have been specially modified for wheelchair use. He says those modifications can cost quite a bit, leading to higher state registration costs. Prose says the new legislation could help. He says there's a current registration reduction in place for wheelchair-accessible vans, but updates in technology mean other vehicles, like pickups, should also be included. Under Senate Bill 815, the registration fee reduction would be offered on any passenger vehicle with a permanently installed wheelchair lift or permanently installed hand controls. WSJM News now continues with your Hilliard Lyons report.
American Electric Power, 65.57, down 0.80. Apple, 171.07, down 0.78. J.P. Morgan, 115.20, up 0.49. Chemical Bank, 57.11, down 0.05. Cisco Systems, 43.31, down 0.75. General Electric, 14.52, down 0.22. IBM, 153.96, down 1.20. Microsoft, 91.49, down 1.23. Fifth Third Bancorp, 33.44, up 0.23. Stryker, 157.93, down 0.81. Whirlpool, 166.27, down 2.23. XPO Logistics, 94.02, up 2.25. Stocks end Wednesday's volatile session lower after the Federal Reserve released the minutes from their last meeting. The Dow Jones gave back 166 points to 24,797, and the S&P 500 lost 15 points to 2701. This is Al McKee with Hilliard Lyons, where we take a team approach to your investment needs at 2900 South State Street in St. Joseph.
WSJM News now continues. A large but peaceful crowd of thousands rallied on the steps in the front lawn of the Florida State Capitol today. ABC's Jim Ryan says the event came exactly 1 week after the massacre that killed 17 at a high school 450 miles away.
We are MSC. We're here to make some-
Students from high schools around Tallahassee joined others who came here from Parkland, Florida, having survived the shooting spree at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. Rabbi Brad Boxman brought a busload of kids from Parkland and says the rally was an important step in their healing.
These kids need to have this experience so they can turn it into something positive. Some good has to come out of this bad.
Inside the Capitol, meanwhile, students from Douglas High held quiet meetings with individual lawmakers to discuss ideas for making schools safer. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Tallahassee.
And following sweeping revelations about the Russian operation to influence the 2016 election, Americans seem to be more receptive to the idea. ABC's Brad Milkey has more.
3 out of 4 Americans now believe Russia did try to interfere with the election. That's up 8% from a month ago, according to Quinnipiac. What's happened since then? Well, Robert Mueller issued indictments to 13 Russians, painting a detailed picture of trolls swaying social media debates, and Americans heard unanimous agreements from intelligence officials that were appointed by President Trump himself.
It's ABC's Brad Milkey. Today's deadline for the Pentagon to submit a new policy on transgender service members to the Trump administration. For 6 months after the president tweeted transgender service members should no longer serve in the military, a panel has met to review and come up with an implementation plan. There is a plan, but we don't know what it is just yet. ABC's Stephanie Ramos is at the Pentagon.
Because military personnel records do not currently track transgender individuals, the Pentagon isn't able to give an exact number of transgender service members. But we do know there are about 200 service members who have self-reported to their military branch that they want some sort of medical treatment related to their gender identity.
There may never again be an evangelist with the kind of influence held by the Reverend Billy Graham. His relationships with U.S. presidents were a source of pride for conservative Christians. Graham was a commanding presence at his crusades, preaching in person to more than 210 million people around the world by the time of his final crusade in New York in 2005. Never a social activist, Graham would come to regret not having fought more forcefully for civil rights. Vice President Pence leading the Trump administration's second National Space Council meeting today in Florida. He promised the U.S. will once again lead the world in manned space flight. Here's ABC's Andy Field.
Vice President Pence at the Kennedy Space Center promising the U.S. will go back to the moon and beyond.
America will once again astonish the world with the heights we reach.
But President Trump's budget eventually ends International Space Station funding and only providing a fraction of the money needed to actually send Americans back to the moon. Andy Field, ABC News.
A Bronx man pleaded guilty today to attempting to provide support for ISIS. Here's Aaron Katursky.
Sajmir Alimameti pleaded guilty to attempting to provide material support to the Islamic State. Federal prosecutors here said he took steps to travel overseas, bought military-type weapons, and helped someone else get what he needed to fight with ISIS in Syria. Alimameti was stopped in Britain and found with images of ISIS flags on his phone and photos of him with an ISIS flag on his laptop. He put up one of those flags in his Bronx apartment and was ultimately caught with the assistance of an undercover who posed as someone traveling from here to Syria to train and fight with ISIS. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
The answer is, the next gig for this game show host is going to be as moderator of a political debate. The question, who is Alex Trebek? Here's ABC's Scott Goldberg.
Imagine a debate with the candidates coming out first and then the announcer saying, and now the host of Debate 2018.
Alex Trebek!
I'll take this is really happening for $1,000. Alex Trebek is going to moderate a 45-minute debate in October between the candidates for governor of Pennsylvania. Trebek describes himself as a political independent who won't let politicians get away with standard responses. Remember how he recently scolded contestants who didn't understand football.
Do you think we should go to commercial?
Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
And Jennifer Lawrence says a sexist controversy over her dress is itself sexist. Here's ABC's Jason Nathanson.
It all started with a photo of Jennifer Lawrence and her male co-stars promoting her new movie Red Sparrow.
Take off your clothes.
The gang is in chilly London, five bundled up guys surrounding Jennifer Lawrence in a dress with plunging cleavage and a slit up to her thigh. Some online called it a prime example of the sexist double standard men and women face in Hollywood, but Lawrence isn't having it, writing on Facebook that she's not covering up a gorgeous Versace dress with a coat, and if she wants to be cold to take a picture, that's her choice. She says the controversy itself is sexist, ridiculous, and not feminism. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
WSJM News Now continues with your weather forecast brought to you by Comfort Keepers of Southwest Michigan, serving Berrien, Cass, and Van Buren counties. Compatible, compassionate, comfortable care at home.